The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live. We talk a lot about science and the Bible. I am not a scientist. Don't pretend to be one. I'm not a great intellect. And many of you are going, yeah, we know that, Bob. No, I'm serious. I don't pretend to be. I don't pretend to be a great intellect. Hey, listen, the person that is the most amazed that I have a daily radio program is the guy you're listening to. It amazes me. But as I've said many times, I didn't seek it. I didn't apply for it. It came to me. And as long as I have the privilege and the opportunity, I'll do the best I can to do the limited intellect that I have to encourage all of us to use our brains and to be LTDs. Listen, think, and discern. And I hope you take this right. I think I'm an illustration of that because... And, you know, some people would say, oh, you're just trying to be modest. No, I'm being honest. If you would pull up my grades from high school, college, I am Mr. Joe Average. In fact, in order to graduate in 4 years, I had to take summer school twice because I fell behind. And in order to graduate on time with my classmates and my wife, I had to take summer school classes. I am Mr. Joe Average, but I try very hard to think, to use the brain that God has given me and the limited intellect that I have. I enjoy studying science. I enjoy studying science in the Bible. I don't spend as much time in it as I used to when I was back in the days of youth work. When Joy and I were working with young people, man, I immersed myself into science and the Bible, and I could lecture for hours on scientific aspects and how it fit with the Bible and so on and so forth. And I wouldn't pretend to remember all of those things now. I would have to brush up and so on and so forth. But I will continue to make this statement. There is never a contradiction between real science and the Bible. Contradictions between real science and the Bible do not exist. Now, I realize that people who really truly believe evolution would disagree with that wildly. The Bible talks about creation. That couldn't happen, blah, 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 blah. Here's the interesting thing. Mankind, through the thousands of years, have come up with all kinds of explanations for origins. The origins of the species and the origins of the universe. The difference between the origins of the species and cosmology. And throughout the centuries, scientists have come up with all kinds of explanations. And here's something amazing to me. Let's go back to the Egyptians, okay? I have had the privilege of visiting the Great Pyramid of Giza twice. It's amazing. Absolutely incredible. These massive, massive, massive stones, tons and tons, every single one of them stacked on top of each other, and yet cut with such precision. You could go anywhere you want to around that Great Pyramid in Giza, and you cannot find a single place where you could insert a credit card into the crack between the stones. Not once. You can't find any place. They are cut with such incredible precision and then placed in such incredible precision. And not only that, we're learning more and more and more about the chambers and the tunnels and the shafts that are in the Great Pyramid and how they faced. One faces the North Star. It is unbelievably intricate, and all of that had to be planned as they were moving these massive stones. Bottom line, they still do not today know how the pyramids were built. Hundreds of theories. And I have read just recently that engineers looking at the Great Pyramid of Giza, it is doubtful that with all of our unbelievable technology, high-powered computers, and incredible machinery, it is doubtful that we could duplicate the Great Pyramid of Giza today. All right, I went through all that to say this was an unbelievably advanced civilization. Unbelievably advanced. They accomplished something, in fact, several things, that we don't know that we could duplicate today with all of our technology, computers, machinery, cranes, and all that stuff. Okay? But what did this unbelievably advanced civilization believe about the origin of the universe and the origin of man? Study the cosmology of the Egyptians sometime. It's pure fairy tale. It's ridiculous. Nobody in their right mind would give any serious consideration to what those people believed about the origin of man. And thousands of years ago, their views of the origin of man and the origin of the universe, cosmology, was rejected by anyone and everyone. Nobody accepts it today. The Bible was written during that time. Portions of the Bible were written during the time of Egypt, the pyramids, and so forth. Probably the book of Job and maybe others as well. Here's my point. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth and gives us the creation story, which is still believed by millions of people today. Take a look at every ancient civilization, every single one of them. The technology, I have been to Angkor Wat in Cambodia. That is just unbelievable, the structure of Angkor Wat. I have visited the Great Pyramid of the Sun in right outside of Mexico City at Teotihuacan. The ancient Aztecs, their technology, their mathematics were unbelievable. Their calendars were off the chart. Look at the ancient civilizations and their technology that was so advanced. And yet all of them, in their belief about the origin of man and origin of the universe, is totally, absolutely laughable today. Standing in the midst of all of those ancient civilizations and ancient theories is the Bible and creation, and still has incredible evidence today. And if the Lord tarries his return, And, you know, civilization goes on another 1,000 years. I don't think that's going to happen. But if it does, evolution will be looked upon in the same way as the cosmologies of the Egyptians, the Aztecs, and all of the other ancient civilizations. It'll be looked on as fairy tale. Real science and the Bible never contradict each other. Modern science comes and goes, changes their theories about changes. And again, please understand, I am not anti-science. I mean, a spacecraft just a few days ago blasted off from an asteroid millions of miles out in space, and it's making its way back to Earth. It's going to use the gravitational pull of the sun. It's going to go around the sun, I don't know how many times, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, like a slingshot. And then finally, the gravitational pull of Earth, and it will fire its little rockets. I mean, it is mind-blowing, the technology that's going to bring that little spacecraft from an asteroid out in space back to Earth, and it's going to bring samples from that asteroid. I am blown away by that. I am amazed. I stand in awe at that technology. It's incredible. This little helicopter on Mars, I'm fascinated by it. I want to see every single video that comes back from Mars, this little helicopter flying around. I am just amazed at that stuff. But I also believe the Bible. Real science and the Bible never contradict each other. And where there is a contradiction, I will always stand on the side of the Bible. Always. All right. I had a reason for that little rant to lay a foundation for a story I'll share with you when we come back. Sometimes I have reasons for my little rants. All right. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
During the break, I was looking at some of the cosmology of the Egyptians, and it's quite entertaining. I mean, it really is. When you read about the gods and the goddesses and the sun god and so forth, it's quite entertaining, but nobody would adhere to Egyptian cosmology or Babylonian cosmology or Aztec cosmology. They're all myths, fairy tales, and then there's the Bible. Of all of the ancient cosmologies, all of them, without exception, are considered to be nothing but fairy tales and fantasy today. And then you have creation. All right. And of course, skeptics would say, well, that's a fairy tale, too. Well, it's stood the test of time. Anyway, the whole reason I went through that little rant about basing what we do and say on real science. Here's a story out of Great Britain that should trouble everyone. Headline, parents say child was transgender at age 2. A British couple ignited a debate about children and gender this week when they claimed on a popular British morning television program that their biological girl began identifying as transgender boy at the age of 2. Parents Matthew Stubbings and Clara Jins appeared on the ITV show this morning to discuss their now 4-year-old child, Stormy, who was born female, but they say now identifies as a boy. Stubbings said that Stormy began identifying as a boy when he was talking in a way that he expressed himself properly. Now, I'm going to run out of time, but what they're saying is when their daughter was 2 years old, she began acting in a somewhat masculine way. And so at the age of two, they gave this child permission to become a boy. Listen to that again. At the age of two, adults gave a two-year-old child the responsibility to determine their gender and to be identified as a boy. Now, is there any science to back that up? Nope, none. No. Not one shred of evidence or science. So now this child is now four, and the parents are treating this girl as a boy because that's what the child wants. Can you think of anything else that a two-year-old could do that is life-altering, that parents would allow them to do that could alter their life for the rest of their life at two? This is so anti-science. It is so anti-science, and it's child abuse. Giving a two-year-old authority to make decisions for the rest of their life at two? And yet, most of society are praising these parents. Aren't they wonderful? Isn't that great? They're allowing their child to express themselves. No, it's not wonderful. It's not great. It's evil. And by the way, it's unscientific. All right. Hey, folks, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for putting up with me for another day. I hope you have an absolutely wonderful evening, but wherever you go and whatever you do, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.